It's less threatening than it was the this session is now being recorded. And Phyllis is not here. We gotta get Phyllis back. Right. Or what, I never know what I'm doing wrong if Phyllis isn't listening. Because everybody else is too nice to me. So we're in the end of Sefer Shmuel, Percha. And we had ended with the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri, who declared Englanu Chelek ben Yishai. The rebellion's cut short, literally, by this Isha Chachma. We spent a lot of time talking about Serach bat Asher and what she symbolized and how she was the symbol, if not the actual person of the Isha Chachma here, who ended this rebellion. And that's the last pasuk that we dealt with. The woman goes back to the people. And they cut Sheva Bichri's head off. And they threw the head back to Yoab. And Yoab blows the shofar. That's the all clear. He's no longer interested in fighting. And they abandoned the city, Yishal Halav, and everyone back to their tents. That's the Israeli army. Yoav Shav Yerushalayim El HaMelech, and Yoav went back to Yerushalayim to the king. That's the last narrative in Sefer Shmuel. We've got a couple of chapters of appendices that take place before around that time. But in terms of the sequence of events, that's really started with the war with Ammon that led to the Bathsheba affair and all of the trouble with Dol David's sons and everything, it ends there. And so the chapter concludes, this is the last verses of that parak with a summary of David's royal administration. After Yoav Shavu Yerushalayim El HaMelech, Yoav Al Kol Hatzava Yisrael, Yoav was the head of all the army of Israel, Ubenayahu Ben Yehoyada Al Kreti Vapleti, Benayahu Ben Yehoyada was another of David's advisors. He was in charge of the Kreti Pleti, which we talked about being either a military unit or the Sanhedrin and a judicial one, and probably both at the same time. Adoram al-Hamas, and Adoram was in charge of the IRS, the taxes, which Mas we'll talk about is more, not so much taxes of money, but taxes of people. It's a levy. It's you need to work for the government for so many months out of the year. You have Shafat Beli, which might not be a terrible idea in America, but I don't know how well that would go. We have Shafat Be'elichud HaMazkir, and they had the official, remember, the recorder, Yoshafat, Yeshua Sofer, and the scribe was Shua, the Tzedek Ve'Eviatar Kohanim, Tzedek Ve'Eviatar, we've heard those names before with the Kohanim. Begam Ira Ha'iri Haya Kohen David. And a name we haven't seen before, Ira Ha'iri was a Kohen to David specifically. What's interesting is that this summary here, we've seen it before, almost identical. And that was the end of Perek Bet.
I was going to say, it's been a while now.
It has been a while, right. When did we do Parachat? Right here. Parachat Zion Chet. That was called Happily Ever After. And this was May of 2018.
So wow, that's
3 years ago, and I spent one, two, three, four sessions dealing with these four psukim, going through what each of these positions mean, what does it mean to be a maskir, and going through and what the Kohanim were doing, and what the Sofer was doing, what Yoav, what the Kreti Pleti. We're not going to do all of that again. But just to compare the psukim, this is and I put this up. Only has one of those parallels. just has the parallel to Chet. That in Perechet ends with Vayasim Bad Edom Nitzvim B'chol Adam Shem Tzvim Vayu Kol Adam Avedim LaDavid. That ends with all these wars in Edom, and David eventually wins the war in Edom specifically and establishes garrisons in Edom. Vayishah Hashem et David B'chol Asher Halach, and Hashem saves David and everything that he did. Vayimloch David al Kol Yisrael. David ruled all of Israel and was doing justice and righteousness with all of his people. That's parallel to our army. For the same person. And Ben Yehoyada is on the, has the Kreti Upleti, that's what we talked about, same pasuk in our pasuk. David Kohanim Hayu, and the sons of David were Kohanim. We interpret not Kohanim in the sense of religious sense, but of like Kohen Midjan, being a minister, which is different here. Here we have Gam Irayu Irek. So this illustrates the idea that we're, that's it. There's a whole Netflix series called Sefer Shmuel. Season one is the story of Shmuel becoming a Navi.
Does anybody else have a problem with the volumes or is it the sound or is it just me?
Yeah.
Do I sound too low?
No, every once in a while you sound like a robot.
You sound very choppy and robot.
Interesting. I mean, he's complaining that it says my sound is a problem because of all the other. Okay, shit. Let me know if it still does it. I don't know. It's an old computer. Maybe
you can switch to your phone if you need it. I've done that just for sound.
Interesting. But talk about Sefer Shmuel. First season was a story of Shmuel. And it becomes a Navi, it appoints Shaul, who isn't really the main character, I don't think, in this first part. Then the second season is the story of David's rise, where Shmuel becomes a secondary character. And it's a story of David, his life, his fight with Shaul, becomes king, conquers Yerushalayim, wants to build the Beit Midrash, can't do it, has all these wars, and it ends there in Perechet. And then the third season is what we've been dealing with the consequences of Bathsheba, basically from Perek Yud Aleph on. A very different look at who David is, and I think they overlap. It's not so much chronological. First, he becomes king, and the story of him as king ends with David Oseh Mishpat Kol Ha'olam. In Mok David Kol Yisrael, that's the story there, and then we have this as one of the things that happened in there is but. And there's a very different feeling for that last part of Sefer Shmuel, because it has a much more negative tone, right? It's a story about Bathsheba, things that go wrong with David. And when you read, it's dripping with irony.
The sound is really, really something.
Is it really bad?
Yeah.
I can try this and I'll mute. And try mute. And get on to the, try on the phone. Will it still record?
It should, yeah.
Meetings, let's try this.
Recording. Okay, that's definitely not good. So I need to get my volume here down.
Okay.
Nope, that's not good either.
You should be able to just on the same Zoom in the volume setting, just switch to phone audio. That's one of the options.
Oh, is it here?
On the Zoom itself, in the same Zoom.
Switch to phone audio.
Yes, I would get off the phone line because you'll get the echo. And then just within the same Zoom, you should do it.
Okay, I'm going to disconnect. I'm going to leave. I leave here.
And I pick a phone number to pick. Oh, now I'm supposed to dial into one of these other things here.
It should call you. It should
also be giving me a bunch of numbers, places I can call.
No, it also should say call me.
Call into this. Interesting option.
Okay. For mine, it has an option of call me, and then you put your own phone number in, and it just calls you, and you're right in the same Zoom.
Okay, so I'm listening to you now, but I'm going to call into the phone here, and we'll see what happens. 312-626.
Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound. Enter your participant ID followed by pound. Otherwise, you are in the meeting now. There are 4 participants in the meeting. This meeting is being recorded.
Oh, so now I mute this. I have now used my phone. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so now I'm got my... That's, okay, well, thank you, Susie. I have now learned something. Let's see if I can teach something now. I learned. Okay, so now we're looking at this. So what happens in the difference between these two lists, that our list and our Perek starts with Yoav called Tzeva Yisrael. Yoav is in charge of all of the army, where the previous one started by Yimloch David called Yisrael. Part that David is the king of Israel is completely gone here. Right? Our Perek ends with Yoav Shav Yerushalayim El HaMelech. He goes back to the king, but we don't see that he's acting as the king anymore. Okay, the message of this part of Sefer Shmuel. Because Yoav had been fired. That it says he's the head of the army means that David has no power. He'd been fired in Perek Yud-Tet as the chief of staff, right? Because he had killed Avshalom. He had basically berated David for not caring about the army. And Yoav murders his replacement. Masa was hired as the chief of staff in his place. Yoav murders him and goes, and the army remains loyal to Yoav. When he goes back to Yerushalayim, he remains as head of the army. David doesn't have the political strength to remove him at all. He's a melech, but he can't save by melech David. That's the way the Malbim puts it. And the Yoav, and the way Malbim looks at this parak. Now, we've all seen this list of names already in the end of Chet as a summary here. There's also a summary. Right now, we have a different order. We need to understand what's going on. Because David had decided to fire Yoav and hire Amasa as his replacement on the army. Because he killed Avshalom. We've seen that all before. So Yoav killed Amasa to take over the army. And when David realized what happened, plan would be to put Ben-Yahu Ben-Yoyada, who's the head, we said, of the Kretu Plati, which is also a military arm, so that is personal palace guard. Moshe Nasa Al-Fakas B'Neshlomo, because we'll see that later on when Shlomo becomes king, he has Yoav killed, and Ben-Yahu Ben-Yoyada becomes head of the army. Assuming that's what was David's intention, because he told Shlomo to do that. When Yoav comes back from this rebellion, and he's successful, he's at the head of the army right now. David realized that David did not have the power to remove him. Israel no team acharav. Because all the people were following Yoav. We saw David complained about that before. They said, Avashim b'nei Tzruya kashim yimeni. B'nei Tzruya, Yoav and his brother Abishai, are tougher than I am. They're stronger than I am. I can't remove them. Yishai devar kim mekodem. Yoav nishar el kol tzeva Yisrael. So Yoav remains at the head of the army of Israel, which is a different phrase, right? In Chet it says, Yoav Tzra Al Tzava, Yoav is on the army. Here it's Yoav Al Tzava Yisrael, specifically the army of Israel. Like people are following Yoav. So Amar Mitesh Yisrael Nitzchu Acharav. So people are all following Yoav. Okay, Ben Yoav Nishar from the Kudam Al Kreti, and Ben Yoav remains at the head of the Kreti Pleti. And what she says is why the sentence moved up. So right now, instead of Vayimloch David al kol Yisrael, David is ruling all of Israel, we have beginning is Yoav on the Tzava, Yoav and Yadav Peti Pleti, and everything that's going on is this political jockeying between those who are supposed to be his advisors, but David is stuck in his basement. And he wishes the contemporary politics is completely coincidental.
Danny, it's so funny that it's sort of a repetition of what happened to Shaul.
It is. Right. That's, I mean, all of Nachas like that. We do the same thing over and over again. But I don't know. I mean, Shaul actually remained in control through all of that. It wasn't that his advisors were running things. I mean, he was making bad decisions in terms of focusing on David instead of running the country.
Yeah, but I'm saying the problem was always David was more popular as head of the army than Shaul.
Oh, I see. You're right. Yes. So Yoav is in that kind of position right now. And part of the difference is that Yoav is loyal to David. Keep emphasizing that. Yoav doesn't think he's rebelling against David. Yoav thinks what he's doing is the best thing that he can do. That's what David needs to do. And David just is too weak to realize that he needs to be far more violent. Yoav really is doing this to support David. And then the irony here of who's really in charge is even greater when you realize that last scene, right? We talked about that last time, right? That Yoav comes back, right? So to it, Rosh Sheva ben Bichri, by Shechul Yoav. Yoav comes back to Yerushalayim with the head of Sheva ben Bichri, literally, right? That's pretty morbid, but I'm sure it would be popular in the U.S. today if we could do that with our enemies as well. We'd say, oh, that's wrong, but it would we get really good ratings. What happened with David, as you just pointed out, right? What did David do to establish his popularity? Cuts off the head of Goliath. That's exactly what he does. He comes to your shrine, right? This is source 6. Back Shmuel Aleph. David runs, go to Goliath the Plishti. The Kachet Charbo takes his sword, pulls it out of its scabbard, and kills him. Roshot cuts off his head. And all the Plishtim run away. And David takes his head by Yerushalayim and brings it back to Yerushalayim. The author here knows that you remember this. So the irony here, but now we've gone from David being the hero, having killed the enemy. Now we have Yoav being the hero, coming back with the head of the enemy. We've taken
the point of view of halakha. Isn't that sort of wrong to glory over a dead body?
Yeah. It is. We're not saying that Yoav is right. We're not even claiming that David was right when he talked to the head of Goliath back. Yeah, I agree. It's not. But it is what happened. Yeah, especially Shimon ben Bichri, if he's Jewish, he should have buried him. But I don't know what happened. And going through all the other differences of what happens between our list and the original list back in Parachet, the first list had B'nai David Kohanim Hayu, that B'nai, the sons of David were Kohanim, not in the religious sense, but they were ministers to David. But now we're going to emphasize after Amnon and Avshalom and everything else, that David's sons are not part of the administration. We have this guy, Ira Hayiri HaKohen LeDavid. Never seen this before. Shot level, I think it's a parallel. Now, David's personal minister is this guy named Irad Hayuri, no longer trusts his own sons. The one who's wants to take over for him is Shlomo, but Shlomo's only 12 years old at this point. He's Yair. So it's a different kind of Kohen. We had Sadok and Eviatar Kohanim, those are the Kohen Gadol, the Kohanim Gadolim, and Givon Yerushalayim. They're still two different centers of worship here. And you have Ira Ya'iri, who is the personal minister.
Chazal saw this as a message, though, that Ira was a literal Kohen as well. That was a problem. The way Rashi puts it. Ira Kohen of David. Ira Hayiri Kohen. Lo haya noten kol matnat kuhuna shalom. The David had this personal Kohen that's when he gave his Truman Maser and his Kala to. That's when he gave his matnat kuhuna to. That's what the Gemara says. So that's Rashi's first opinion. We're going to quote the Drush. That's the Chazal say. Pshuto, but Pshat on there. Pshuto shall mikra she'asa'o saru shofet. That he was the minister. David's personal minister. So that's what she was there. But the emphasis on the fact that we're calling him a Kohen, and he did, it was David's personal Kohen. Right? That's who he gave all of his.
Well, is that like a spiritual leader?
I'm sorry?
Is that like a spiritual leader?
And it might have been his Rebbe. It could have been.
Sorry, I read Ira Haya Iri. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I read the word sounds like bureaucrat to me, just like the word Ira in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree that the pshat is as bureaucrat. But I mean, the question is, if we're talking about as a Kohen, is that a religious thing? If we're reading as a religious thing, I don't get any sense that Kohanim were like personal religious leaders in the sense of a Rebbe anywhere in Tanakh. No one goes to Kohen to ask for religious leadership, which is interesting. The Kohanim have this sort of the ritual side of it. And we talk about they keep the physical, the Torah of Ketav. We have to show that the Navi is the one who gives him the religious guidance. David, there are Navi who will give David religious guidance. You have Natan and God. God coming up shortly. So I don't get that sense, John. They're reading it as Matna Kumana. Right, this is the one I'm going to give my true master to. But the problem is, as the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Abarman Zvada. Kol notein matnotav kohen echad. Someone who just gives his matnot kohen to one kohen. I'm not going to spread it out. I got one person. I have one friend here, and that's where I'm going to give everything to. Maybe Ra'av la'olam brings famine to the world. Ne'amar, because you quote our pasuk, Ira ha'iri ha'kohen le'David. That this guy was a kohen to David. The David have a kohen l'chuli amalo. What do you mean? He was only a Kohen David. He wasn't a Kohen for anybody else. The answer is no. He was sort of a personal relationship with David. He would send him all of his matna kuhuna. And the next chapter, we're in Chaf, the next chapter, beginning of Perek Chaf Aleph starts it by Hira Abin David. There's a famine. So let's talk about that famine. The Tosfos says, "I've got the Ktiv Al Shaul Abeit Adamim." That the reason for the famine, when they find out, they go to the Ashkelon tomb, is not about David giving him his gifts to a specific Kohen. It was because of what happened with Shaul and the Gibonim and everything else. Still, Hava Hagaram, the Tosfos said, both of these led to it. Usmuchim Kedarash, and it's darshing Smuchim, as we said in the Chumashir, that the fact that it goes from one, David has a personal Kohen. To two, there's a famine in David, implies there's some kind of connection there. They get hints of the idea that David's kind of turning inward. He's not looking at the whole nation. He's got his own personal Kohen, he's got his own personal life here. That's his religious need, not of everyone else. Okay, that's part of what led to Bathsheba, was confusing himself as the individual with himself as the leader of the people. He's supposed to represent the people. He's not doing that. This is the way the Gemara said about Bathsheba, right? David says before Amar Lafanav Ribono Shel Olam, Ma Omrim Elkei Avraham Elkei Yitzchak Elkei Yaakov, right? David tells God, why everyone's praying to the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak Elkei Yaakov, but ain't Omrim Elkei David. No one's praying to the God of David. No one mentions that. The Gemara says that's what led to the problem with Bathsheba. Right? Now it can't be about him. And then go through the rest of the list. Mostly this it's the same musk here, the same sofer. We spent a lot of time dealing with that. The Kohen list changes from Tzedek and Achimelech to Eviatar. And I won't deal with that. We talked a little bit about how Eviatar's role changed back in Perak Yudchet. But there's a new role. There's Adiram Ahama. There's Adiram in charge of the taxes or the levies. That wasn't there in Perakhet at all. So what's a mas? We haven't seen that Sefer Shmuel at all. That only comes up in Sefer Melachim under Shlomo. Ve'al melech Shlomo mas will be called Yisrael. And Shlomo imposes a mas on Hebrew tax on all of Israel. Ve'al mas shoshim elefish. But here the tax is 30,000 people. And he sends them into Lebanon, 10,000 per month, Kalifot Chodesh, taking shifts 1 month at a time. They spend 1 month in Lebanon, getting the wood to build the Beit Mikdash in his palace, and 2 months back at home. And the same Adoniram was in charge of the Mas, same one that was under W. So the Mas started here under W. We don't see that before. And he had 70,000 workers. And he has 80,000 also mining in the hewing in the mountains. And besides all the overseers, administrators, 3,300 administrators, rodim ba'am, who were rodim, literally beating them, oppressing them. This is kind of a negative thing here. I mean, the people don't have a choice in the matter. They are being impressed. Their claim is a little bit harsh, but.
This goes back to what Shmuel told Bnei Israel when they asked for a king.
Right, that's exactly right. They get a king and all of a sudden they have to work for him. And they're gonna spend 1/3 of their lives working for the government. I think it's about right, right? What's Tax Freedom Day now? They estimate some point in May. I'm like, you know, so it's about a third of your working life goes basically toward the government here. And you have only 3,000 administrators for what? 180,000 workers. See, the bureaucracy now is much bigger. So it's interesting that in Shlomo we talk about how all these things got built, how the work is here. In Sefer Shmuel, we know that David built Yerushalayim, built lots of things throughout the country, but we never talk about how that happened. They just happened, right? Buildings just got built, right? They issued David the Tzudad, David stayed in the fortress by the time of Yerushalayim, Bikrala Yer David, but even David Tzavid min Hamalo Vaitan, he built up all of Yerushalayim. But clearly there was something there, right? Something had to happen, right? He had this mas obviously existed in time of David, right? There was everyone, this is the Israeli term, Mishrat HaBinui VaHashikun, Ministry of Building and Housing, that made all this building happen. And here's this hint that it existed. Adoniram HaAlamas, same guy who was in charge of Shlomo's mas, existed in time of David. Yeah, a little hint of why are these rebellions happening? What's all this backstory? We don't have any of that. And so we have this sense that there are whole aspects of David that we never see. We have David Sefer Tehillim, he's a poet, he's a warrior, he becomes king, and everything's wonderful. We quoted that before. This is when Barzillai is an old man who helped him when David was on the run. Tells David, I don't want to go back to Yerushalayim. I don't want to go to the big city. Everybody's like, I don't know. This is back last card. Right? His wife tells the king, how long am I going to live? I'm 80 years old. I don't want to go to Yerushalayim. I'm 80 years old today. I don't know what. I don't have any sense of taste. I can't even taste what I'm eating anymore. Before COVID, he's just old. I don't enjoy things anymore. I'm not tasting what I'm drinking. I'm not going to go to Yerushalayim and listen to all the the Sharim v'Sharot, the singers, and the musicians. Let me have Decha Ozu Masel and the Anoch. I don't want to be a burden to you. But this idea that you go to Yerushalayim, which is the center of the government, and I'm going to eat fancy food and listen to Sharim v'Sharot, doesn't fit into the way of thinking of David HaMelech. But clearly that was happening. Right? We could write whole new stories about David as king with a whole royal retinue and palaces and fancy musical plays and all of that. Right? We have these four books, Shmuel, a little bit of Malachim, Devarim, Bihim, giving these little pieces of David. But this historical David, we assume there's more there. I always like quoting Walt Whitman about, I am large, I contain multitudes. True of all of us, but especially true of David. And so that I would love to read the story of David as Robert Moses. Anyone know who Robert Moses was?
Yeah, he's a developer in New York City.
Right. I'd explain that. We tried to explain this last trip when going over the Verrazano Narrows, that he basically ran New York for 50 years without ever being elected to anything. And bulldoze everything, okay? But here we have this hit, the Mat, which is interesting. The Jewish Publication Society translation translates that as forced labor, because that's exactly what it was. That was an innovation of David. That's the first time the hint we have it over here, this one thing. And this will end up being what splits the kingdom in the end. In Malachim, after Shlom, this is Rechavam. Yisachar Melech Rechavam et Adoniram. Adoniram is served through three administrations. David, through Shlomo, he's in Rechavam over here. So I guess Adoniram is the real Robert Moses here. So that's the person whose biography I want somebody to write. Asher Almas, he was still in charge of the levy over here. But what happens? Rechavam, Elbo, he tries to reimpose the mas on the people, and they stone him to death.
They stoned him?
Now what happens? They stoned Adoniram to death. This is the point with Rechavam, where the people say, Rechavam, you're working us too hard. Rechavam says, I'm going to work you even harder. And they say, that's it. We're splitting off under Yeravam. So Rechavam sends Adoniram to get the people to work again. They stone him to death. That's not what happened to Robert Moses. I think he died peacefully, having accomplished just about everything he wanted except for the big Long Island to New England bridge. You want to have a highway that basically would go through Long Island and go from like the Hamptons into Connecticut. Never got that built. But anyway, this Adoniram al-Hamas says there's a whole side of David's administration we never see at all. Okay, but at that point, and Rechavam runs away from Shechem where they were after they stone Adoniram, and he runs back to Yerushalayim, and then the kingdom splits there. So ending with this kind of look, we basically are taking this summary that was so wonderful of David of the Mishpat Tzadkah Kol Amo, and we're quoting it in a way that makes it all ironic and everything looks like it's going bad. Everything's going wrong. It's not a nice place to end. So we have four more chapters, some of which will be good, some of which will be far worse than what we've dealt with before. Next parak is basically David leaves the rest of Shaul's family to be killed. But it's going to introduce us the idea of David and Sefer Tehillim. We'll get to that, the name is Mer Yisrael, that's coming up. And we'll end the whole Sefer, the end of Perach Chavdalad, with Vayibed Sham David Mizbeach Hashem. David will get to the point where he will start building the Beit HaMikdash that he's looked for. We'll get there. So, David, Sefer Tehillim are all depressing. Things do get a little bit better. To make it a little bit better, we're going to switch to a Perek Tehillim that looks at the same idea. It builds on these bad things that happened to David and create a, what I call a Psalm of Hope. This is Tehillim Kufchet, which is from the fifth book of Sefer Tehillim. So if you look at the structure of Sefer Tehillim, it's divided into five books. The first two are more of what we call the historical ones. It describes him as David when he was running from Avshalom, David when he's with the Plishtim, all these things happen to David. And the fifth book is where all the fair stuff, Hallel, all the Shira Malos. That's where all the sort of the Siddur of the Beis Hamikdash is. This is part of the fifth book of Sefer Tehillim. Shir Mizmor does it. What's interesting is that the entire parak basically is a collage of two parakim that we looked at before. I'm not going to go into great detail on these because we've seen them already. it starts out, Nacholi Bilo Kim, my heart is solid with God. Ashira Zamra Afkodi, let my soul sing the music. Ura Hanebel Bakinor, the lyre. Nail of the kinor, that the musical instruments, the lyre will should wake up. I will awaken the dawn. The idea that we quoted before that David gets up before dawn to close the hillim. And the parallel in Nun Zion is almost the same thing. Not only be the Kim, not only be Ashura Zamra, Ura Kubodi, may my heart, may my soul wake up. Ura Nail of kinor, Aira Shaka, I wake before dawn. Odcha Bamimim Bazam Chabulamim, I will praise you among the nations. Because your kindness is greater than the heavens themselves, your faithfulness to the heavens. Yeah, exactly parallel to Tehillim Nun Zayin. It's just a quote. You are elevated above the heavens, and your glory is upon all the earth. It's lovely. And again, we click on here and look at see what we said about these words specifically. The second half of it goes on, and that's a quote from Kilim Samach, which we've looked at as well. In order to save your beloved one, or your right hand saved. Answer me. God spoken in his holiness, and I will praise him. I will give you a portion. Hashem tells me. I will take Shechem, I will take Sukkot, these are cities in Israel. Li Gilad, God is saying, Gilad belongs to me, Li Menashe Ephraim, I am ruler of Menashe Ephraim, the whole country, Me'oz Roshi, Menashe Ephraim, Me'oz Roshi, Ephraim and Menashe are part of my, they're the strength of my head, literally, they're part of my kingdom. Yudah Mechel Chokai, Yehuda is the center of my rule.
Does that
saying
that the other side of the Jordan is ours too?
Yes, Sukkot is the other side of Jordan. Gilad and Sukkot are the other side of the Jordan.
But I was thinking Ephraim and Menashe also has stuff on the other side.
So Menashe is there, right? So Gilad is the part of Menashe that's on the other side. Ephraim is all on the west side of the Jordan.
Okay.
So this is saying that Menashe, that even Israel, we talk about how the kingdom is splitting here and that all David really rules is Yehuda. But, I mean, it hasn't actually split. He's still saying, okay, I'm king over all of this. Ephraim and Menashe are mine as well. Right? And Moab is Siritri. I conquered Moab. It is literally my boiling pot. It's my cook pot. I can step on Edom. Right? I control those. I won them. I Pleshet Edraroa. I blow my shofar on the Plishtim. Right, David's won all these wars. The nation's at peace now. No one can fight him. Mi yavlenu ir misar. Who has taken me to the fortified city? Mi yavcheni ad Edom. Who has taken me all the way to Edom, which is the war that ended, we call it season two, right? That ends up with David, Melech of Kol Yisrael. Halo, Kim. Was it not God's Nachtana who had abandoned us? We'll have to see that. Was it Tzeil Kim Mitzvoteinu that Hashem didn't go out, you know, among our armies? But no, now Havalanu Azrat Mitzar, now God will help us from the enemy, Rishav, Shuat Adam, and we don't need the salvation of human beings. God is on our side. Elokim Nachachayel, we will have victory with God, Hu Yavus Tarenu, and he will trample our enemies. That's wonderful. God's happy. But yet, it's exactly, it's just pieces of other Tehillim. So the Radak puts it, most of this comes from Tehillim Samach, okay, earlier. And that Tehillim, we're going to look at the beginning of that one. Here we go. that beginning of Sefer Tilim Samach is not a good thing. Tilim Samach is an elegy. It's how Hashem abandoned us, Hashem has destroyed us. This is talk about the war against Aram. It's actually a war against Edom here. It's about the war against Edom that they lost. And Edom actually invades Eretz Israel. It takes a while for them to fight back. We had talked about that in the context in the end of Parashat. It's Lamasecha Shushan. It's Mechtam with David, Lamed. Tzach Samach is a Mechtam. It's really a blood thing. It's a tila of blood. Lamed, to teach. We'll have a lesson here. But the Toat Amnarayim, that Am Tova, when he went against Aram in the north, the Yashav Yoav, and Yoav comes back, the Yachet Adom, and attacks Yoav, Bagay Melech, in around the Dead Sea. Shemus or Elef, and we talked about the Targum translate, that they lost 12,000 soldiers in that battle. Yoav lost 12,000. And it starts out, Elohim Zachtanu, God, you've abandoned us. For us, Tanu, you've reached our forces. You've broken us. And Nafta Tishuvav Alana, your anger has settled upon us. So Perish goes on like that. Oh, the earth shook, and instead of destroying our enemies, it destroyed us. That's what Radach is pointing out. But them is more about the Torah, Aram, Narayim, Shem, Peresh, Nuhu, and all the Mepharshim say, well, we explained all these before, and we're not going to go back in detail. Bishinat To, and it's repeated again, Hena, here. Lo Yadar Olama, and we don't know why. Radach says, I don't know why he's got to repeat it here. Befshad, and it would seem, Yisham Ne'mar Ha'inyan Shazachar, but there it's talking about the specific incident of this war with Edom. Bata omeroto al hatid. But here we're taking that and talking about the future. Bad things happened, but here I'm taking toward the happy part of that deal, the prayer for the future, and looking at that. Therefore, in our parak, in parak, it doesn't mention the war with Edom at all. It just quotes the end of the previous Tehillim. And the psukim that's repeating was then Nemru Ba'otam Mizmar, was then that Mizmar, Nachom Pirushim al Kibbutz HaGalayot, and we can apply it to the future redemption in Ingrat and the exiles, Yeshuv Yisrael Mekomam, that Bnei Yisrael will return to their place, Moshe Shavu HaMakomot Asher Lachu Mehem Malkei Aram, just like they returned to places that they had lost to Aram and to Edom previously. So we're taking the pieces of older Tehillim and creating a new Perek out of them. That's Perek Samach. And the other one that we're quoting is Perek Nezayin, is also a bad Tehillim in the sense that it's when David is in a bad position, he's praying for salvation, not thanking God for how wonderful it is. Right? That one is Lamasech al Tashchet, L'David, a Tila of David, not to destroy, not to be destroyed. Tam also mechtam, right? The idea of a tila of blood, the blood stain. Barachol mitnei Shaul mara, when he's running away from Shaul, way back when. Menio kim chanini, have mercy on me, pity on me, God. Because my soul trusts in you. Tzel kinefecha echaseh, and I will be pitied in the shadow of your wings, ad avor havot, until destruction passes. I'm just going to be hiding out here until I'm saved. We take these two, the ends of these two crooked. The Tim always ends up on a good note. So we have these sad, okay, God, you abandoned us. I'm in trouble. Please save me. It ends with the, I will rejoice in God. And it takes the prayerful parts of them and turns them all into simply positive, a joyous circuit dealer. This is the way Feivel Meltzer from the Masada Rav Kook puts it. Nidmelah appears to us. He efshar l'shara tamah. Now I'm going to offer a possible reason. Dun nechal liroto kudai la v'hachrati. But I can't say I'm sure about it. It's not definitive that this is the reason why we've got this sort of repetition of previous prakim that's made up of the other prakim. I'm closer to Rei who actually is the possible thing. He doesn't want to commit to it. Who's just next to Im Shalanu? That these two paragraphs, that come from different places. But nim kam bahakavat aferet. They come together to make a new mixture. It has a new meaning when they put them together that it didn't have in the previous bucket. They bring to the heart of the reader, and someone who sings them, that they're presented as, again, Tehillim in the Beit Midrash. Using this as part of your tefillah, took at your Chadash Perek Kavala, a different kind of meaning. But Ocha Perek Samak, Matkil Bazaka. Perek Samak begins with a complaint. Okim Zinak, Tanu, Perek Tanu, you've abandoned us, you've broken us. Who Mithayim Tefillah, and ends with tefillah. Ocha Perek Nud Zayin, Baraketa Choser, Perekeda Bistofa, Shaltukina, Bistuna. And similarly, Nud Zayin ends with the tefillah side of it. Ari Hakabat Perekeno He. So the combination, the mixture here, the collage, becomes Hoda al Kasev Amitah. So all I'm doing here is building that and to say, I have trust in God. Acknowledge God's grace and God's faith in us. Rachakin ba Purut HaTachat Hashem, so we're specimen God, faith in God, Rachashat Kiyum HaTachav, and a prayer that Hashem keeps his promise. Yidakein HaFo, so therefore it seems, this collage gives it a different kind of sense, different way of reading this when it's being read, but it's being performed publicly. So when we put these pieces together, it gets a different meaning. And therefore it was kept in Sefer Tehillim as its own parak. Even though they exist in other places. So there's a different meaning when we just take these pieces out. Similarly, the Malbim, and him and Mizmar, but the Atmo, this teaches us two things, the Mer Lashem, Al Shurat Yachid, Al Shurat Klal. We're taking these pieces of previous parakim that talk about God saving people as a whole and the people and the individual. Yom Zayim being the individual, Parasamach being the people as a whole, being saved from the war with Edom. He's called Yadoa Nis and Asa Lopin Asula Amo. Remember the miracles that happened. He was saved and the people were saved. Both of these times. Parate, Prishuka Tivim, Katab Mala, and then Malbim adds, just like you said, that the details we explained before in the previous parakim, the most in the stream of those places. So we've talked before, David is the archetype of Tshuva Me'alva. This is the time of year we're talking about Tshuva. Talk about Rav Shagar putting this as Tshuva Me'alva means Ava Techet, Vachote. Not that, it means acceptance that the past was what made us what we are today. But Tshuva doesn't mean rejecting the past, it means growing from it. That's what Tshuva Me'alva means. And turning your zedonot, your sins into zechuyot, into merit. As Rav Tzadok says it, tshuva hayno mashiv oto devar Hashem. Tshuva means returning it back to God, saying that what happened, that was what you gave me. All these bad decisions I made, those were the opportunity that you gave me to grow. Everything comes from God. Even all the thoughts, those are all from God. God gave me the strength to do the sins that I did. Not to blaming God, but to say that was an opportunity. It has to be looked at as an opportunity now. That's what tshuva has to be. So after I do tshuva, that's what means that when sins become merit, I grow from it. This parak is similar. Same idea, that I take these disasters that happen and I grow from them. Now I look at Hashem with greater faith. That's what I have to look at with the bad things that happen. Right? Before the previous parak, he cries out, Liga Alai V'Liyim Hashem V'Ephraim. In context of parak Samus, those were lands that were lost to Aram and to Edom. And David's trying to win them back. Now it's Satan is God's rule. That is David's rule, rather. God, David rules over now. That I will tread on Edom. Who will bring me to Edom? originally it was a question, who can do it? Now it's an acknowledgement. That's what happened. I did eventually take a dump, and now I'm at peace. That's what Elshik says here. Why am I so sure that Hashem will save me? That which Hashem rescued me from Edom in the past, that's a sign to Kenya Seliatia, that I will do that again in the future. That's what I mean. Me over Lady Yamasar, who will take me to the fortified city in the future, is me and Nachedi Edom, who the one who led me to Edom. Nisha Atan Nachedi Edom, the one who now let me conquer Edom, Yavlani, who Latin Yamasar will let me conquer other cities. So David looks at Hello, Elohim Zakhan, in the past, God, you abandoned us. In the future, Elohim Nasakhail, you will do good things. But through the tragedy and everything that we see in Shmuel, what looks like terrible things, there's always hope that we can grow from them and build further on that. That will end with the narrow section of Shmuel Bet. From here, I'm going to take a little bit break because Shmuel is always too depressing. And I want to look specifically at Sefer Tehillim. I'm going to start looking at Hallel. I have to figure out how to do that and put that all together. So I think next week we'll still be on. And I got a bunch of work on Sundays. I will stop.